Happy New Year's Eve, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time again, where we all start to think about the year's ups and downs,
Yeah.
all those moments of joy and the challenges we all face,
Yeah.
just that whole human experience thing.
The human experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're diving into today.
Okay.
Those experiences that connect us all as humans.
Yeah, it really is fascinating how humans across different cultures and time periods, have all tried to understand this shared human experience.
Yeah.
And for this deep dive, we've got a whole bunch of different sources.
Okay.
Some are from modern psychology, some are from ancient traditions,
Cool.
all offering really unique perspectives on what it actually means to be human.
I like it.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking at excerpts from Normalizing Humanness,
Okay.
which was written by a therapist.
Right.
And it kind of, delves into all those common experiences that we all navigate.
Yeah.
But we're not stopping there.
Oh.
We're also going to touch on the Buddhist idea of cempa, those mental patterns that can lead to suffering, and how Buddhism offers tools to deal with them.
Okay.
And then we're going to dive into the world of Ayurveda
Sounds good.
and the concept of doshas, which are those unique energy combinations
Right.
that influence our preferences and
Our
tendencies.
tendencies.
Yeah. And of course, we can't forget about those interesting energy systems like chakras.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick tour of those as well.
Okay, cool.
And then to bring it all back down to earth, we'll look at the science of the vagus nerve
Okay.
and how it plays a role in our well-being. So
Interesting.
yeah, buckle up.
Okay.
This deep dive might give you a fresh perspective on yourself and everyone around you.
One of the things that really stood out to me in normalizing humanness
Yeah.
was this big list of 75 shared human experiences,
Wow.
ranging from like the joy of celebration
Yeah.
all the way to like the pain of homesickness. It's
Right.
like this huge catalog of emotions and experiences that we all encounter.
Yeah, it's really like a validation, isn't it? Just
Yeah.
to see those like everyday feelings,
Yeah.
like disappointments or regret or even playfulness, all laid out like that.
Yeah.
It really makes you realize that we all have so much in common.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's actually why therapists often use lists like this,
Okay.
to help people put their feelings into words and realize that these experiences are totally normal. They're part of being human.
Yeah.
You're not alone in what you're going through.
So
That's a
true.
powerful reminder.
Now, the source also dives into some core emotions,
Okay.
sadness, anger, disgust, fear, joy.
We're at the usual.
Yeah, the usual suspects.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting was that it puts grief in its own separate category.
Yeah, that's important because
Right.
grief is so complex. It's not just sadness. It can be anger,
Oh,
confusion,
yeah.
even guilt.
Right.
And recognizing all the different sides of grief
Yeah.
can really help us better understand and deal with loss.
For sure, both in ourselves and others. And the
Absolutely.
document goes even deeper into how these emotions show up.
Okay.
Let's just take sadness as an example.
Okay.
It's not always just tears and feeling down.
Right.
Sadness can also be like irritability, withdrawal from social situations, even changes in sleep or appetite.
Yeah, that's important
Yeah.
because we often misinterpret these signs,
Yeah.
in ourselves or in other people.
Yeah.
Someone might seem snappy or they withdraw socially,
Right.
and we don't connect that with sadness.
Right.
So understanding all those nuances of how emotions show up
Yeah.
can help us become more self-aware and, cultivate more empathy in our relationships.
I like it.
Yeah.
So we've talked about all these different emotions, but
Yeah.
what about the energy behind them?
Yeah, that's where it gets really interesting.
I know.
One of the sources brings up this idea of a map of consciousness,
Okay.
which was developed by David Hawkins. And it actually assigns like a numerical frequency to different emotional states.
Okay.
So the concept is that emotions like shame and guilt,
Oh, yeah.
they vibrate at lower frequencies,
Okay.
and love and joy vibrate at much higher frequencies.
That is a fascinating framework.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about how our emotional state can influence our overall energy.
Absolutely.
Like, does that mean that we can consciously shift our energy toward those higher frequencies?
It's a great question, and it is an intriguing idea,
Yeah.
but I am curious about how these frequencies are actually measured.
Yeah.
Like, is it just based on people's opinions, or is there a more objective way to do it?
Yeah.
So, the map of consciousness is really compelling, but we have to acknowledge that its scientific basis is definitely debated.
Right.
Hawkins based his work on kinesiology and muscle testing,
Yeah.
which some people consider subjective. But it does line up with a lot of spiritual traditions that emphasize raising your vibrational energy as a path to personal growth.
That connection to spiritual traditions is really interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, this deep dive wouldn't be complete without talking about Chimpa.
Right.
The Buddhist concept of mental patterns that can cause suffering.
Yeah, we touched on it earlier.
We did touch on it earlier.
Yeah.
But let's unpack it a little bit.
Okay.
Can you give us some examples of Chimpa and how Buddhism says we should work with them?
So in Buddhism, ignorance is seen as like the root Chimpa.
Okay.
You know, it refers to a lack of understanding about the true nature of reality.
Okay.
Then you have attachment,
yeah,
clinging to things or people,
mm-hmm,
which always leads to suffering when we inevitably lose them.
Yeah.
And then there's pride.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that inflated sense of self-importance that can lead to conflict and disappointment.
Those are all so relatable.
They are.
Like, I think we've all felt the pain of attachment at some point.
Yeah.
And the downsides of pride.
Absolutely.
So how do we deal with this, Chimpa, according to Buddhism?
Yeah.
Is it all, you know, like meditation and chanting on a mountaintop?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Meditation can be a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But Buddhism really emphasizes cultivating awareness of these patterns as they come up in our everyday lives.
Okay.
So noticing when the Chimpa is active.
Yeah.
Understanding why it's there and gently shifting your perspective.
Okay.
For example, if you are struggling with attachment,
yeah,
a practice like loving kindness meditation
okay.
can help you shift from clinging to cultivating genuine well-wishing.
So it's about that inner work.
It is.
You know, and recognizing those patterns.
Yeah.
Rather than just relying on external practices.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears for a minute and look at another ancient system that has a really unique perspective on human nature.
Okay.
Ayurveda.
Okay.
It's really known for this concept of doshas.
Right.
This idea that everyone has their own unique energetic blueprint.
Exactly. And Ayurveda has three main doshas, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha.
Okay.
And each dosha has a set of characteristics that influence everything.
Yeah.
From our physical health and emotional tendencies
yeah.
to our preferences in life.
Okay. So give us the rundown on each dosha.
Okay.
What are the main characteristics?
So imagine Vata like a gust of wind.
Okay.
Creative, energetic, quick-witted.
Yeah.
But also kind of prone to anxiety and digestive issues when out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So a classic Vata might be the life of the party, full of ideas,
yeah.
but also the first to get overwhelmed in a chaotic environment.
That's such a good analogy.
Yeah.
I can totally picture that.
Yeah.
What about Pitta?
Think of Pitta like a blazing fire.
Okay.
Passionate, ambitious, natural leaders, but also prone to anger and inflammation when that fire burns a little too bright.
Okay.
So picture like a driven entrepreneur who loves a challenge, but they get frustrated when things don't go their way.
I feel like I know a few Pittas.
Yeah.
It's a vivid description.
It is.
It seems like understanding your dosha could really help you navigate those tendencies.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about Kapha?
Kapha is grounded and steady like the earth.
Okay.
Calm, nurturing, loyal.
Yeah.
But also prone to lethargy and weight gain if they become stagnant.
Right.
So picture that really loving and supportive friend who loves routine.
Mm-hmm.
Might need a little push to try new things.
I love how each dosha has its strengths and challenges.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that we're all wired differently and balance is key.
Absolutely.
So if someone wanted to learn more about their own dosha, where would they even begin?
There's tons of stuff online.
Oh, good.
Quizzes and articles and things like that.
Yeah.
But for something more personalized,
yeah.
seeing an Ayurvedic practitioner is a great option.
Okay.
They can really help you figure out your dominant dosha
mm-hmm.
and give you guidance on lifestyle choices to stay balanced.
It's fascinating how this ancient system is so personalized.
It is.
Yeah. And speaking of energy systems, we can't forget about chakras.
Of course.
This is a topic that people are really curious about.
Yeah.
And sometimes a bit skeptical about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this can be a complicated topic.
It can be.
But can you give us a quick overview of what chakras are and how they relate to well-being?
Sure. So chakras are often described as these spinning wheels of energy.
Okay.
Located all along the spine from the base to the crown of the head.
Yeah.
And you can think of them like energy centers.
Okay.
That influence different parts of our being.
Okay.
And each chakra is connected to specific physical, emotional, and spiritual qualities.
So if a chakra is blocked or imbalanced,
Yeah.
could that show up as certain physical or emotional problems?
Absolutely.
Well,
For example, the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine,
Yeah.
is all about stability and security.
Right.
So if that one's blocked, you might have anxiety, financial problems,
Oh.
even physical problems with your legs and feet.
And then you have the heart chakra,
Okay.
which is in the center of your chest. And that's all about love, compassion, and connection.
Right.
And if it's blocked,
Yeah.
you might find it hard to form healthy relationships
What?
or feel isolated and lonely.
So even if someone doesn't buy into the idea of these spinning wheels of energy,
Right.
approaching chakras as metaphors can still be really useful
It can be.
for understanding different aspects of our lives
Yeah,
and well-being.
for sure.
But let's shift gears now
Okay.
and bring it all back down to earth
Okay.
by talking about the vagus nerve.
All right.
A lot of people might not even know what the vagus nerve is.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
Okay.
What is it,
Okay.
and what's the connection to our overall well-being?
So the vagus nerve is this really powerful nerve
Okay.
that's like a super highway connecting our brain to a bunch of different organs,
Okay.
the gut, heart, lungs,
Wow.
all sorts of things. And it's crucial for regulating our nervous system.
Especially the parasympathetic nervous system,
Right.
which is all about rest, relaxation, and digestion.
Yeah.
It's a key player in helping us feel calm and balanced.
So if we can stimulate our vagus nerve,
Yeah.
we can basically hack our system to chill out,
Yeah.
especially during these, stressful times.
Absolutely.
What I find so fascinating is that you mentioned ancient practices like yoga and meditation. Are you saying that those practices actually stimulate the vagus nerve?
Yeah. So deep breathing, which is a big part of yoga and meditation,
Yeah.
is one of the most effective ways to stimulate the vagus nerve.
Interesting.
When we take those slow, deep breaths, we're activating the diaphragm,
Okay.
and that sends signals up the vagus nerve to the brain, and
Yeah.
that triggers the relaxation response.
So it's like hitting the chill out button on our nervous system.
It is.
Wow, this connection between ancient practices and modern science is amazing. But
It
deep breathing is one way to give our vagus nerve a little love. What are some other techniques we can use in our daily lives?
Well, you might be surprised to learn that cold exposure can also help.
Okay.
Things like taking a cold shower
Yeah.
or even just splashing cold water on your face
Okay.
can stimulate the vagus nerve.
So all those ice bath people might be onto something.
They might be.
You know what really stood out to me, though, is
Yeah.
that social connection can also stimulate the vagus nerve,
Yeah.
which at first sounds a little counterintuitive.
Yeah.
So how does spending time with others actually affect this nerve?
So positive social interactions, things like laughing, having meaningful conversations, just being with loved ones
Yeah.
can increase vagal tone.
Wow.
It's like we're literally wired to connect,
Yeah.
and those connections literally have a positive impact on our bodies.
This is incredible.
It
It's like all these different approaches to understanding humanness,
Yeah.
from ancient wisdom to modern science, are all coming together to paint a more holistic picture of what it means to be human.
Yeah. And what's exciting is that we're learning that we have more power to influence our inner state than we thought.
Absolutely.
It's about understanding how our emotions, energy, and physical well-being all work together.
It's like we're peeking behind the curtain of our own operating system.
Yeah.
And with that knowledge comes a sense of empowerment.
Absolutely.
But let's explore that idea of empowerment a little more
Okay.
and look at the specific tools these different systems offer for well-being.
Right.
Ready to keep going with our deep dive?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's see what else we can find.
All right. So we've been looking at all these different frameworks for understanding the human experience,
Yeah.
from emotions to energy systems.
Right.
It's like we're putting together a toolkit
I like that.
for navigating being human.
A toolkit for life.
Yeah, exactly. And what's so interesting is how many of these tools point to the importance of mindfulness.
Yeah, whether it's Buddhism and, observing our Chenpa
Right.
or Ayurveda with understanding our doshas, it all starts with paying attention to what's happening inside us.
It's about tuning into our thoughts and emotions
Yeah.
and even our physical sensations, becoming
Exactly.
the observer of our own inner world. But
Exactly.
it's not just about observing, right?
Right. It's about using that awareness to make choices that help us,
Right.
support
Yes.
our well-being.
Exactly. So if we can recognize those Chenpa patterns that are causing suffering,
Yeah.
or we sense that our dosha is out of balance, we can then make conscious choices to shift our energy
Exactly.
and create more harmony.
It's not about suppressing those thoughts or emotions.
Right.
It's about acknowledging them and choosing how we respond.
And this idea of conscious choice really connects with what we learned about the vagus nerve.
Yes.
You know, simple things like deep breathing or spending time in nature can actually shift our internal state.
It's true.
It's so empowering to realize that we're not just victims of our circumstances.
Right. We have the power to choose.
Yeah, we have agency.
Yeah. And don't forget about connection.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We talked about how positive social interactions can stimulate the vagus nerve and boost our well-being.
Right.
So it's a reminder that we're wired for connection.
Yeah.
And those connections really have a positive impact on us physically.
It's almost like a biological imperative to reach out and build community and support each other.
It's not just some feel-good thing.
Right.
It's deeply rooted in our nervous system.
Exploring all these concepts has highlighted a common thread.
It has.
That runs through all of them.
There's a definite convergence happening here.
I know. It's like
ancient wisdom, modern psychology, even science.
Yeah.
All pointing to the same basic principles for well-being.
It's like we're uncovering this universal blueprint for human flourishing.
It is.
So as we look closer at these shared principles, let's see if we can pull out some key takeaways for our listeners.
Good idea. Let's break it down
and
get to the essence of what we've learned.
All right. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is self-awareness.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about chempa or doshas or even the vagus nerve, it all starts with paying attention to what's happening inside us.
Yeah.
Cultivating that inner observer.
Yeah. Just noticing.
Yeah.
Those thoughts,
yeah.
emotions, physical sensations.
Without judgment.
Yes, exactly. Self-awareness is the foundation.
It's like having an inner compass.
Yes.
That can guide us towards choices that align with our well-being.
I love that.
And speaking of choices,
yeah.
the second takeaway that really stood out to me is that we have more agency than we think.
Yes, we do.
We're not just passive recipients of whatever life throws at us.
We can make choices
that
change how we feel.
Exactly. Mm. We have the power to influence our internal state.
It's empowering.
It is.
Deep breathing, connecting with nature, having real conversations, even taking a cold shower.
Right.
We have all these tools we can use.
It's like we have a whole arsenal of techniques.
And it's not just about feeling good in the moment.
Right.
It creates a ripple effect.
Exactly. When we take care of ourselves, we naturally become more capable of caring for others.
Exactly.
It's like that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup.
It's so true.
Which brings us to our third takeaway. Connection.
Connection.
Whether it's connecting with ourselves through mindfulness.
Yeah.
Or connecting with others through interaction.
Yeah.
Those connections are vital for our well-being.
Our vagus nerve exploration really showed that.
It did.
It's amazing how our nervous systems are literally made for connection.
It's like a biological reminder that we're not meant to go through life alone.
We're not.
You know?
Yeah.
We thrive in community.
We do.
And those connections nourish us deeply.
Deeply.
You know, as much as I love those three takeaways, self-awareness, agency, and connection.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more essential ingredient that ties everything together. What's that? Compassion. Compassion for ourselves when we mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion for others who are struggling.
Yeah.
And compassion for the human experience itself.
Beautifully said.
You know.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're all in this together.
We are.
Navigating the messiness and the beauty of being human.
Compassion is at the heart of it all.
It is.
It softens the edges.
Yeah.
And lets us approach everyone with kindness and understanding.
And it's not just a passive feeling.
Right.
It's an active force that inspires us to act with care.
Yes.
And create a more compassionate world.
It does.
So as we head into this new year, I'm feeling really inspired by all these different perspectives on humanness.
Me too. It's like we've been on this incredible journey.
I know.
Exploring ancient wisdom and modern science and the whole human experience.
Yeah. But the journey doesn't end here.
It doesn't. The real magic happens when we take these insights and use them.
I agree. It's about experimenting with different practices.
Yeah.
Finding what works for us. And continuing to explore what it means to be human.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your reflections on this deep dive.
Okay.
What's resonating with you the most as we approach this new year?
You know, what's really striking me is this reminder that even with all the difficulties and complexities of life, there's something fundamentally good inside all of us. It's like all these traditions are pointing to that inner light and giving us ways to nurture it.
That's beautifully put.
Thank you.
And as we step into this new year, I think that's a powerful message to carry with us.
It is.
That reminder that we each have our own unique light to share.
Yeah.
But before we get too sappy,
okay,
let's bring our listeners back in.
Yes.
We've covered a lot today.
We have.
From the nuances of emotions to the power of the vagus nerve.
A lot of ground.
Yeah. So what's resonating with you?
Yeah.
What are you taking away from this deep dive?
I'm excited to hear their thoughts. And, you know, I'm especially curious if any of these frameworks or tools sparked their interest.
Mm.
Maybe they're inspired to try a new meditation or an Ayurvedic practice or even just take a moment to appreciate breathing.
It's all about finding what works for each person, what feels good, and what supports them on their journey.
Exactly.
But as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
I like that.
As we go into this new year,
which
is often seen as a time for fresh starts and resolutions.
Yeah.
I want to encourage our listeners to approach this new beginning with curiosity and self-compassion.
I love that.
It's not about being perfect.
No.
Or setting impossible goals.
Right.
It's about embracing the ups and downs.
The messiness of beauty.
Yeah, of being human.
I love that.
So as you think about the past year.
Yeah.
And look ahead to the new year.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ask yourself.
Okay.
What are you carrying forward? What are you leaving behind?
Okay.
And what are you inviting into your life?
Great questions.
These questions can guide us towards a more authentic and fulfilling experience of being human.
Yeah.
But our deep dive's not over yet. Uh-huh. We've got one more part where we're going to talk about how to actually put all these insights into action.
I'm excited for that. Let's get practical.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So welcome back to our deep dive into humanness.
Yeah.
We've explored all these different concepts and frameworks.
Yeah.
Emotions, energy systems, the vagus nerve. But now let's talk about the practical stuff.
Okay.
How can we actually use all these insights in our daily lives?
Yeah. How can we use them to navigate the new year with more intention?
Right. That's the big question, isn't it?
It is.
You know, it's one thing to understand these concepts, but actually living them?
Right. Embodying them.
Yeah. That's a whole other challenge.
Yes. And the key is to start small.
Okay.
And experiment.
Yeah.
You know, find what works for you.
It's like we've been given this amazing toolkit.
We have.
And now we need to figure out which tools work best for us.
Exactly.
But there are so many options.
There are.
It can feel kind of overwhelming.
It can be.
Where do we even start?
Well, one simple but really powerful practice that we've talked about a lot is mindfulness.
Okay.
It's like the foundation for everything else,
right,
whether it's noticing your chempa or tuning into your dosha or just paying attention to your breath.
Yeah.
Mindfulness is all about being present in the moment.
Right. It's like hitting pause on autopilot.
Yeah.
And becoming aware of our thoughts and emotions and sensations.
Exactly. And for someone who's new to mindfulness, a good place to start is just focusing on your breath.
Okay.
So find a comfortable seat, close your eyes if you want, and just notice your breath as it goes in and out.
It sounds so simple.
It is.
But I can see how that could be really powerful.
It is. It's a great way to ground yourself in the present moment.
Yeah. And you can do it anywhere.
Anywhere, anytime.
Right? Whether you're feeling stressed at work or anxious in traffic.
Yeah.
Just taking a few conscious breaths can really help.
Absolutely. It can shift your whole state.
Okay. But what about when we're stuck in negative thinking?
Yeah.
Or feeling overwhelmed by a certain emotion?
Right.
Are there tools for shifting our energy in those moments?
There are. Remember we talked about Shempa?
Yeah.
Those mental patterns that cause suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Buddhism has all these different techniques for working with those.
Okay.
And one that's really effective is loving kindness meditation.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
How does it work?
So it's basically practicing cultivating feelings of love and kindness.
Okay.
And compassion.
Mm.
First, you direct it towards yourself.
Okay.
And then towards others.
Right.
So you start by repeating phrases like, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering.
I like that.
And as you practice, you gradually expand that circle of compassion.
So you start with yourself and then move outwards.
Exactly. To loved ones, neutral people, and even people who challenge you.
It's about shifting from that negativity and self-criticism to a more loving and accepting way of being.
Exactly.
That's so powerful.
It is.
And what about Ayurveda? Are there practices that align with doshas?
Yeah. Ayurveda has all kinds of lifestyle recommendations.
Okay.
Based on your dosha.
Yeah.
For example, if you're Vata and tend to be anxious and overthink.
Right.
Grounding practices like yoga, meditation, regular routines, those can be really helpful.
And if you're pitta and prone to anger and inflammation, what then?
Cooling practices like swimming.
Okay.
Spending time in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding spicy foods.
Okay, so it's about making choices that support your specific energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the vagus nerve.
Of course.
We talked about deep breathing. For stimulating the vagus nerve, are there other practices for tapping into that vagal power?
There are. You mentioned cold exposure earlier.
I did.
And that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, a cold shower or even splashing cold water on your face.
Yeah.
That can really stimulate the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
Another one that's really effective is gargling.
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 Really?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
It stimulates those muscles in the back of your throat
that
are connected to the vagus nerve.
Wow. It's amazing how these everyday actions can have such a big impact.
They can.
But I think it's important to remember that there's no one right way to do this.
Absolutely. You know, the great thing about having all these tools
is
that we can choose what works best for us, experiment and find what we like.
Yeah.
What matters is the intention. If you're coming at it with curiosity and listening to your body, you're on the right track.
It's like we're on this journey of self-discovery.
It is a journey.
Using these tools to explore our inner world.
And as we do that,
it's
so important to have compassion.
Right. Compassion for ourselves and others.
Yes.
And for the human experience itself.
Beautifully said.
Compassion is what holds it all together.
It does. It lets us approach everything with kindness and understanding.
Yeah.
And a willingness to just be human.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm feeling hopeful.
Me too.
You know?
Yeah.
We have so much power to shape our experience.
We do.
But the real magic happens when we actually use these insights.
It's a process of experimenting and growing.
So as we head into this new year, I want to encourage our listeners to approach it with curiosity and playfulness.
Yes.
And a willingness to embrace the unknown.
I love that.
So here's to a new year filled with self-awareness, mindful choices, and the courage to embrace our humanness.
Cheers to that.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring.
And we hope you have a happy new year.
Yes, happy new year, everyone.
Yes.